You're once again playing with the mic.
I'm moving it so I don't have my hand on that.
I know, but we're on the air right now, and you're scuffling around there. And I know we're not set up. We're kind of portable. Mobile. We're mobile. This is a mobile podcast today. We're on location, undisclosed location in Pennsylvania. So when we hold the mics, we got to keep it still. Are you with me? All right, that's pretty still. Anyways, recently I seen an article on ToxEDL. Is that a yawn? Wow, she's so into this podcast. Recently I seen a article on ToxEDL. One of the drivers put up a picture of his truck sitting in the dock, and he had said he had been there for many hours waiting to get unloaded. Let me look and see here. Actually, I think it's right here. Yeah, he said, been waiting to get loaded for 14 hours, and they're still working on it. Unbelievable. So, you know, that can be a problem. It really is. And you know, when I drove, a lot of my freight was LTL, which was I had many stops in a day, and you know that was one of the first things I was going to mention. You know, getting behind. You with me?
I'm with you.
Okay. Nothing to add so far, huh?
Well, I usually try not to interrupt you while you're speaking.
Well, you can interrupt me all you want. Go ahead. Cut me off. No, but it's true. How many times did I complain about, I'll just name a couple. Cisco. You know, somebody even mentioned on here Jewel Foods. And you probably don't remember them, but you were with me one time in Chicago. And in fact, he said Jewel Food Group or whatever in Chicago. And, you know, you go in there just to get a skid of like bubble yum or something, you know what I mean? And you're waiting 4 hours at past your appointment time, which is really can be frustrating for a truck driver. It really does. It puts a lot of stress on us when we got an appointment to make. And especially if you have to leave and get somewhere else for your day, it could be very detrimental to your entire week. It could screw up everything. It's just a hard.
Yeah, because now your company has to call your next load where you're going to the next company and explain to them, sorry, but you know, Cisco just held us up once again. So we're now going to be 6 hours till we make it to your appointment. That time sensitive food that I'm about to pick up is going to have to be shifted now.
They're almost like doctors.
Oh, they're.
No, I'm serious. They want you to be on time. And you know dang well if...
My doctor's office, if I'm 15 minutes late...
You have to reschedule.
I have to reschedule completely.
Right. And I think that there's some shippers and receivers. If you haven't checked in at certain times, you're in trouble. In fact, they even dock the company sometimes money.
Yeah, but that's where you know, most companies offer the pay where if they're at their dock...
Detention.
Yeah. If they're at the dock for after, what is it, like so many hours? I think it's like 2 hours or 4 hours. If you're at your dock longer than that, then the company is supposed to start paying you for sitting there. And you know, most companies end up having...
But it's cheap.
Yeah, that's what I was going to
say. You
don't
really make a lot.
What you need to do is instead of it being the $10 to $25 detention pay that it generally is, we need to have it where the Ciscos and the Jewels that are, you know, keeping you there for... 14 hours. That's where I was actually in shock when you said that. Not that I wasn't with you. I was just still trying to like, oh my God, comprehend that. They should not, it should be more like $100 or, you know, $150. Because if the company has to pay such a large amount.
Whatever they can make in a day. Whatever your driving rate is. If you drive your 14 or your 11 hours or whatever it is and you max out your rate, that's what you should get for being held up that day.
Well, it's not just that. It's not just the driver getting held up. It's the company that he had to go after that. So if a company realizes, I'm screwing everybody now, I need to stay on time. You know, we understand, you know, certain things, but that's just ridiculous. 14 hours that guy got held up. That was literally, if you come and think about it, it's almost 2 days worth of work.
Well, it is. And like I was saying earlier, if you're running LTL, let's just say you have 15 stops on your truck and you got stop number 5 is supposed to be let off at 2, and then you got 30 miles to get stop 6 and 7 off. But stop number 5 makes you, you know, held you up for 4 hours, which I can go into a million scenarios that have happened mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. And you now 6 and 7 are screwed. And then number 8 screwed, because usually number 8, you have to be somewhere maybe 50, 100 miles down the road to start your next day to get the rest of your freight off.
Yeah.
So like you were saying, now dispatch has to call all your customers. But really, ultimately, yeah.
And that's bearing it's not falling on like a Friday or a Thursday, where your Friday freight's now getting shifted till Monday.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's a mess. And usually the guy doing the labor is the guy gets screwed. It's usually the driver that gets taken. And I know everybody, like you said, it's hurting, you know, everybody. But the bottom line is the driver, okay, the guy that's out there busting his ass, okay, and running all those miles and being away from home, he's the guy normally, the one that is taking it harder
mm-hmm.
because that's affecting his pay. And, you know, and I'm not putting trucking companies down, but, you know, some of these rules really need to be pushed, you know, with detention and max, and just guarantee your drivers, if you're screwed by one of our customers, you know, you'll get your day rate. I think that's what they should do personally.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I think it should be more, because like I said, it's not just the driver, it's the company too. Hey, the driver's going to get this pay, but you know, maybe if they realize, you know, you just messed up the whole 2 months. And like I said earlier, what if it was Thursday that happened, Thursday morning? So the guy got, you know, is at his at that dock at whatever time. He's now 14 hours into sitting there waiting to get loaded. But if that was like on a Thursday, now he had to go and still do something for Friday. He now just, his whole weekend just got messed up, because now he's got to try and, you know, a lot of docs, you know, a lot of companies don't take certain things over the weekend.
Do you remember that one called Storage House or whatever it was down in Temple, Pennsylvania, right outside of Reading? And I was driving for FFE, and I had one skid left on my truck of gummy lifesavers. I remember this. And I went in there, right? And literally, they when I walked into the place, they held me up to where they couldn't take it off. Luckily for me, I only lived like, what, 45 minutes away, 35, 40 minutes away. So I went home that night with the truck. FFE said, go ahead, take the truck home. Okay. But you got to come back in the morning to get the freight off. So when I came back the next morning, they had me there all day with one skid. At the end of the day, when they went to take it off, they said they couldn't. I had to come back the next day. This was the weirdest thing I've ever had to do. They told me to go home, come back. And I did it the third day in a row. I don't know if you remember this or not. And when I got there, I was there for about an hour or two, still waiting for one skid. And they came out and they said, listen, our computer is saying we've already received this. We cannot accept this skid. Do you remember? I went off so bad on these guys. I mean, in fact, they were going to call the police. I was screaming that loud in their building. I was so mad at their, and the lady behind, and that's another thing. You know, we show up at these places, and usually they're, especially if it's a food warehouse, it's usually the rudest person that they, I'm telling you, when a food warehouse is hiring for people in their local area, I think the job description says you must really be a pissed off person. You must come to work as mean and ornery as you can, because we want to really make the truckers mad. I'm not kidding you, because it seemed like half the food storage places, you'd go into them, and the lady behind that little glass window was always mean. Always mean. And that lady in Temple, I wish I could remember the name of that place, what that storage place was. I'm going to look it up. But anyway, she was mean, and I literally flipped out at her, and then the guard came over, and I flipped out at him, and then I remember.
Is that the one with the tie?
Yes. I grabbed him by his tie and twisted it. Yes, I did. All right. And you know what? I probably shouldn't have done that. Okay. But I remember telling him, if that, because they had to check your truck, I said, I said, you got to look at my truck on the way out the door. I said, you better have your gate open and glancing in it because I'm going through your gate. I'm not kidding you. I'm not trying to sound like, oh, I'm super trucker and I threaten people and I can kick everybody's butt. I literally was so mad. I was just a dumb young driver. And I literally, I did not stop. They ran out, made sure the gate was up because they knew that I was ready. I was willing to get arrested that day. I was that angry. And to be honest with you, it would have been stupid on my part. I should have had patience.
We all did dumb things when we were young.
But you know what I mean? 3 days in a row. And then tell me that, oh, yep, our computer says we already received this. We can't take that out. That. And I was like, well, you didn't receive it. It's still on my damn truck. And so, you know, after flipping out, they ran out, they opened their gate, and I just kept driving. I didn't even bother stopping. And then when I got out to the road, that's when I shut my doors. But I did have the doors open for them. But that was a perfect example of nobody really telling the left hand, or the left hand not telling the right hand what's going on. It just was an insane amount of mess. And the driver is always the one that gets screwed in that situation. I'm telling you, every single time. And like I said, detention pay, what, $10, $15 an hour you get? And I think what they do is they say no more than, I think it's like 10 hours, which, you know, if you just figure, if somebody's averaging, you have a calculator in front of you. Let me just do the math, man. Let's say somebody's averaging 40 cents a mile, 40 cents a mile. And let's say you run 10 hours. Okay. And let's say you did 600 miles for the day. Okay. That's $240. That's $240 you made for the day. Okay. So if you get held up at a shipper or receiver, they're offering maybe half of what your potential earning would be. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair at all to a driver. But now on the other side of the coin, when you're in orientation, you sign papers saying this is what you're willing to do, and you're you know, you'll accept $15 an hour detention time, because believe me, you're signing for it. If you don't believe you are, trust me, at the next orientation, look and see what you're signing for. Because and if you don't sign it, trucking company's not going to hire you. But I really believe that these and there's a lot of trucking companies that don't pass on 100% of the detention to the trucker. Because I let me tell you what I do know. If an owner operator gets held up, he's getting way more than $10, $15 an hour. He's getting $30, $40, $50 an hour. Okay. They pay the owner operator a lot more just because he's paying for the fuel and all this other, which is, that's all well and good, but don't take the man that's working for you, dedicated to you, and say, okay, we're collecting a lot of money here, but we're only going to give you $10 an hour, $12 an hour, half of what you would have made if you were driving. That's not fair. I don't care. I call the no fair card on that, on any trucking company that's willing to do that to their drivers. And I don't care. You can get pissed off at me all you want, but that's not fair to the driver.
You, yes, that was his potential pay. But don't forget, if he was doing other stops, he would have gotten stop pay most of the time.
Yeah.
You got to add that. If he had two other stops, he was going to do that next day and just got held up. $30
first stops.
Yeah, so he could have possibly made anywhere from $3 to $350 that day.
Yeah, well, LTL drivers generally do make about 30, 40% more than, you know, a truckload carrier or a truckload driver. Okay, because he's humping the freight, or he's at least jacking it up with a hand cart and pulling it off real quick so he can get it counted. He's involved a lot more, and he does make more money because he's hustling per stop, like you said, per mile and per stop. And you can hustle and make money, but if you get held up, it all stops.
It up, yeah.
Exactly. So $12 an hour, $15 an hour just isn't cutting it. Mm-mm. For detention pay. And that's just a fact, is what it is.
That's what I said. They need to make it hot, and they need to make it higher.
You know, somebody else brought up also, now let's do a little bit of I hate to use the word devil's advocate, but let's just play the advocate here for a second. Somebody wrote on the same article, he says, some drivers bitch at waiting for a pickup or a delivery when they have a 7 a.m. delivery, but they've arrived 2 hours early. Sometimes you have to wait for your appointment. So, you know, the one driver did ask him, he said, hey, what time was your appointment? So you know, and you know me, what was my theory? If I had an 8 o'clock appointment, I'm there at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah,
right?
You always wanted to be early because you never know. They could end up getting you in the door early.
Well, a lot of times we did get in the door early, you know, with a little persistence or a little, hey, is there any way we can get in? You know, of course. But what we can't do as a driver, okay, and this is just in defense of the shippers and receivers. What we can't do as a driver is we can't say, I've been here 4 hours waiting. You've been here 5 minutes, only past your appointment time.
Yeah.
They don't care about the 4 hours early you showed up. Or right. Maybe you laid over there in their yard the night before. What do you got? You're looking at your Mickey Mouse watch.
Hey, leave Ruthann, my watch.
What is? It's not a Disney watch. What's that called?
It's an Apple Watch.
Oh, iPhone watch or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's all about the Disney characters on yours.
Well,
right?
No, I got Mini. See, listen. Oh wait, I gotta take it off silent.
Are you gonna play for the
yeah
the podcast? It's 11:44. Oh gosh! Imagine hearing that in the morning.
No, what's worse is when I accidentally bump it. But
okay. So, anyways, that's what the some drivers do. That they forget that their appointment was that you're even bitching because you're ahead of your time.
Yeah.
And the company,
you can't complain for you being early. And, you know, it's not quite your appointment or, you know, within even a half hour after your appointment time. You can't really complain quite yet.
Right.
Start complaining later.
And if you're a Cisco or a Walmart or a Target or a big food storage warehouse, the big Myers,
Kraft,
all those down in Allentown, you know, all the way over to Chicago and all.
Pittman.
Nestle's, all of them. Oh, that one was Bevico. They were the U.S. storage. That was the worst. But what I'm getting at is, if you guys expect us drivers to be on time, please, you know, let's work together here. I mean, I understand you guys can get held up and all. Hire more people. Get people in and out like they're supposed to. Get them in their door. You know, a lot of them now, especially cold storage houses, there was one up in Norton, Mass. Called Norton Cisco. I don't know how it is today, but it was actually built in a residential area. So not only everybody, well, let me just say this. Everybody had a 5 a.m. appointment. Didn't matter who you were. I think actually there was two appointment times, 5 or 8. And so you had this mad rush of drivers lined up at the gate at 5 o'clock in the morning in this residential neighborhood, right? So if you were driver number one or driver number 100, if everybody had a 5 a.m. appointment, that was their way of not having to be on time. Because, okay, so we already got our 25, 30 doors or whatever it was going, and you're going to have to wait. And what happens is with a lot of these shippers and receivers, some of these companies sign saying my driver will unload the damn thing. So now that door gets held up for a long time. And so next thing you know, a lot of people start waiting and waiting and waiting. The worst part with this one was, because it was in a residential section, you really had to drive a couple miles down the road and wait and have your CB blasting loud because you wanted to hear them say, okay, doors are going to start opening, and that's when everybody would come down. Because if you parked down at that neighborhood, you couldn't have your truck running. There was absolutely zero idle, or you would get towed. You'd get a fine and get towed. And you can't blame the people that live
in... I wouldn't want a tractor trailer going with the reefer.
With the reefer, front, yeah. Exactly. So now...
Especially at 5 in the morning. I don't like it at 8 in the morning.
But think about it. You got a January delivery. You know what I mean? You're not going to shut your truck off unless, mm-hmm. of course, you have an APU. But like you just said, what about your reefer? You know, your reefer might be kicking on. And, you know, there you have that. So it was kind of a real screw job the drivers got there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there was something else I wanted to mention. There's a famous place down in, and I think you've been there, Americold. Everybody mm-hmm. knows what Americold mm-hmm. warehouses are like. I remember literally going there with one skid and being held up for hours. But I remember always watching the CR England and the bigger companies sitting there, and I would talk to their drivers, and these guys would be held up for 2 days. Literally. They like, oh, well, yeah, my appointment was for a day and a half ago, and I'm still waiting to get unloaded. I'm not kidding you. I have no idea. I'm not just saying CR England. I mean FFE. All the big companies that were company drivers would literally be stuck, KLLMs. They were all just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. And, man, it was insane.
Hopefully it changed by now.
Yeah. Anyways, so I just wanted to kind of talk about it, you know, appointment times. And, you know, if I'm giving advice, my advice on, you know, and again, you know, it's easier to say it than do it. But she's smiling and laughing.
I'm stuck when you said, if I'm giving advice, you know, anybody that really honestly knows Troy, he don't give things, let me rephrase that. If you want it or not, you're still going to hear it.
Okay, yeah. I'm giving advice, but, you know, I'm being nice about giving advice. But seriously, if I'm giving advice, and again, this is easier said than done, because I've been there, you know. You've got to go in, you really got to get up every day and exercise patience. And you got to know that there's going to be places that are going to hold you up. Again, the laugh.
Because you just gave us an example of how you grabbed the guy's tie and twisted it.
But that was a and so
that's
my advice,
exercising his patience.
Well, and so let me give advice to young drivers, because I was a young, you know, young driver, and I was a hothead. I am not going to deny that, and I was one of those guys that thought you had to, you know, fight to get what you needed to get. So I would tell all you drivers out there that are young, better start developing patience now. And I mean it. And that's not just advice. That's a warning, because later on in life, if you don't, it gets worse. And trust me, I read all these articles you see on here all the time where a driver gets arrested. One guy just got arrested for threatening another driver with a bat at a truck stop. I mean, and a lot of it's because somebody don't have patience at a fuel island, or somebody gets cut off, or somebody don't have patience in a parking area. And again, at shippers and receivers, there's been plenty of times I've seen fistfights at shippers and receivers. And so guys and gals, a couple of things that can do to you if you go in and you handle a customer wrong, is not only will your company fire you. In fact, not too long ago, do you remember one of them went in? It was, I think, in Iowa, and one of their drivers pulled a knife on one of the shippers or receivers. I couldn't remember if it was a shipper or receiver. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course, he ended up in jail. And then, of course, the truck. Well, I think the truck was left at the customer, but I won't mention the carrier, but I was talking to the carrier, and he told me, he said, yeah, we're now negotiating, and, you know, this, they may not want to, you know, they may lose this. It was a major contract. So advice or warning, however you want to take it, young drivers, I'm doing this to the young drivers or anybody else that's older than what we would consider young that has a hot head. I would tell you that it will not only affect you in to the fact that you might get a prison record or you might get fired, but you won't really, it's one of those things where it's almost going to be impossible to get another job, Ruth Ann.
Oh yeah. No, this is one of the things companies really do take seriously, is how the driver is interacting with their customer, because you're representing that company.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be a hothead, if you're going to dress sloppy, if your appearance is grungy and not, you know, respectable, they're not going to want you to be representing them, because they're hoping that you are doing a good job at representing them of who they are as a company, because you're driving their equipment.
Yeah.
You're going into their customers. I mean, it's just like anything. Okay. It's like us with our kids. We don't want our kids running around with like scuzzy little faces and snot hanging out their nose, because they're representing us as a parent. And, you know, we want to make sure they're clean.
Yeah. So you're saying besides going and threatening them, they don't want people walking in all, you know, sleazy looking, dirty looking, maybe wearing sexual oriented t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And
the t-shirt with the big O flipping off the finger
or
and stuff
the
like
shirts,
that. Yeah, that's not
the
really
shirts
something
that
you
have
wear.
The shirts that have, like you said, the middle finger or the get high shirts and all that other stuff.
Well, yeah.
It's really, so yeah, that's a good point. So it's not only do you not want to get into fights and arguments, but you also want to represent going into these customers, what you're saying, mm-hmm. represent them in a professional, as professional as you can. But look,
you're supposed to be a professional driver. You want to get paid as a professional driver. You act like a professional driver.
Okay. So realistically, and it's really good advice to give someone that, you know, if you're going to go into a carrier or into a shipper or receiver, you know, treat it like it's your customer, only because the next carrier, they get wind of any customer-related offenses, you're done.
You know,
it's true. You really are.
Yeah, no, it is true, because you know that's the stuff that you know, when you're getting your verification of employment, when they're talking about, they will tell, hey, you know, one of our we kept having customer complaints because,
yeah, customer complaints is bad.
It's,
you don't,
it's horrible.
It makes great stories though. For us, like, we get to make fun of them. Yeah,
but yeah. I can also tell you, I remember talking to a company, and they got one of their drivers was getting the customer called the company and said, listen, I just want to tell you, we just got the best experience with the driver that was yours.
Yeah.
And you know,
they're nice with the good reports.
When
nice.
You get that, if you're going to be a driver that gets that kind of report, companies love it. They're gonna reward you. I think the driver end up getting some kind of like, hey, thanks for doing it, high five bonus, just for, you know, yeah. We appreciate that kind of, You know, you move up.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are very many, many very professional drivers that don't get recognized.
It's sad, but yeah, there is.
It really is. Of course, the bad ones get recognized more. But you know what? Keep up the, if all you good ones, keep doing what you're doing. And eventually somebody does, you know, recognize you for your professionalism. Yeah. That's a good point. You know, we're not here to pick on the bad ones. But look, let me go back to my advice. You young ones, seriously, develop a different way of looking at, you know,
life.
Well, I don't want to say life. I'm just saying situations where you're going to get held up, because you can fix a problem today. Tomorrow, there's another one right behind it. So you got to get used to it. And that's usually with age comes a little bit more patience. But as a young, and there's a lot of patient young people, you know, and I would just tell anybody that's whatever age and you're getting a CDL, you better realize that these trucking companies, and a lot of them are going to say, oh yeah, without the driver, we're nothing. That's our number one. But you know what? Honestly, let's be honest. Okay. The customer is really who we're all working for. We're working. We are all representatives of the company, but we are all being paid by the customer, because without the customer, there is no income coming in. Without an income, we don't need the driver either. Mm-hmm. So I would just say everybody should come into the industry with the thought in mind of being human resources or customer service oriented. They should teach that in trucking school. I don't really, I think some might mention it, but there's so many different things that a trucking school could teach some of these drivers. And one being that our customers are always needing to be dealt with in a professional manner. Anyways, I'm just rattling on. Should we wrap this thing up, Ruth Ann? I just, again, wanted to talk about this.
I think you hit some really good points. I don't know if we really have to dwell on.
Compliment me more. I'm just kidding. Hey, it's better than that last episode. You probably don't even remember it. Anyways, any advice from Ruth Ann?
Just go in there representing a good light, because even if you don't feel like you're getting rewarded by the company, by being acknowledged by it, you are getting rewarded within yourself, because you're supposed to be representing a professional driver. You want to be paid professionally. You want to be a professional driver, act like one, dress like one. No one wants to see a scuzzy. You know, drivers get a bad name as it is. Don't sit there and give them more ammo by saying, you see those truck
That's
drivers?
True. We do get a
Look
bad
at
rap.
Them truck drivers. They smell. They don't shave. You know, they smell like But, you know, whatever the case might be, you don't want to end up being one of those kind of drivers.
And look, you're not here saying that's what drivers are like. There is that.
But that's the mentality that people have on drivers.
The public views us like that. It really is. And that's all Ruth Ann's saying, is the public views us as these troublemakers, guys that are running them off the road, guys that are ready to fight and all this. And let me tell you something. All you need is one driver to screw up, and then everybody's going, them truckers. You know what I mean? And look, I know a lot of truckers that are very respectable. I grew up around, and my grandfather and his friends were all truckers. And they were very respectable. They helped each other, and they were very safety-oriented. Yeah. And they also didn't like that one driver.
No one wants to be referred to as the bad one when you know that not everybody is that way.
Right. Even like the drivers that are good drivers, they separate themselves from that group. And that, I believe that the bad drivers are smaller group than the good drivers, or else we'd have a lot more bad accidents, you know, because we already know 70%+ of the accidents caused with a four wheeler and a trucker is caused by the four wheeler. So if that's the case, then that really is telling us that a small percent of the drivers are hotheads and blah, blah, blah. So let me...
Blah, blah, blah.
But anyways...
He loves that word.
I do. But look, I'm going to wrap this up. Stay safe out there and keep patience in your mind when you're dealing with these shippers and receivers. And you know, just stay cool, man. And leave it all up to God. That's what I do. Amen to all that, Ruth Ann.
Amen.
All right. Todd CDL.